Yeah, Rudolph up here at the top. Cousins throws. Pass is caught for the win. Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings are moving on.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Kyle Rudolph, the game winner, ending Drew Brees' bid to get to the Super Bowl for the second time in his Hall of Fame career, proves to be just enough to wet the whistle so that he has to come back in 2020. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. I wonder if you're a football fan down in NOLA or a Saints fan otherwise, how excited you are about the return of number 9 for another season based on what we saw this year, even returning from injury, the nice win streak by Teddy B. Would you rather have Teddy B as your starting quarterback at this point? Drew Brees, no doubt, a Hall of Fame career, but is he definitely the guy you want under center? Here to talk about that and many other things in the world of pro football and, of course, the game of life, our main man all the way from London, England. He serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan here. It's Handsome Hank. We don't have time.
We don't have time.
Because you know why, Handsome?
Why?
Because Eddie Spaghetti, just before we started, said, we don't have a lot of time to kibitz today because the trend zone is coming.
El trend zone.
What is that?
El trend zone. The trend zone is our Spanish language, Mexico focused show.
Oh, I've podcast. Met those fellas. They're
You've
lovely.
They're wonderful people.
I really like them very much.
And they're entertaining and engaging our fans around the
one
world.
Guy,
speak
the,
Spanish.
The one guy rode with the bus of Pittsburgh Steelers fans from, I forget what part they left.
From Monterey.
From Monterey, they drove on a bus all the way up to Heinz Field to watch the Steelers play a game. Why am I not on that bus?
You
Handsome?
Can go. We'll put you
don't
on the bus.
Don't make it okay for me to
no,
go.
No,
you
I'd love you to go. I think you
spearhead
would
spearhead that move.
Do you speak Spanish?
Un poco.
If you
un poquito.
If you do your
poquito
what's
or
it called? What's the listening? The tape called?
Yeah.
When you listen to the cassette,
I did 3-ish years of Spanish.
I bet you were super focused during that time as well, Dave. Seriously though, if you learn Spanish between now and next season, I'll make sure you're on that bus.
Yo comprendo español. Me gusta. All right, let's talk about football here, shall we? How are you, Handsome?
I'm very good, thank you.
How's your off-season treating you?
It's pretty good.
There's
so
no off-season, is the right answer.
Oh, yeah. I've never been more excited about football than I am right now as a Miami Dolphins
that's
fan.
Fun.
Because the Dolphins have literally hundreds of millions of dollars to spend in free agency, literally 14 picks in the draft. They're literally going to have
crazy.
A brand new quarterback. It's like all the nights before Christmas.
They're almost literally going to have a new roster.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, 14 guys is not a small amount to add.
They will probably have, no jive, it says it on the door, they'll probably have 8 new starters by the time we get around to May or June.
Interesting. And amidst all this, there is the news that Joe Burrow making noise. Eddie Spaghetti, explain to me, what exactly is the story with Joe Burrow? This isn't, people are trying to get a bonfire going by throwing some gasoline at a little match,
well,
right? That's
yeah.
not, that, Joe Burrow isn't threatening to say, I'm not going to go to Cincinnati.
He's not outwardly saying that. He made a comment to the time of this recording. He said that he has leverage and basically went on to say that the Bengals have their own process and he has his own process. And there's a lot of stuff leading up to the draft because you have to go to combine and individual workouts and pro day, this and that and the other. And that tied along with the fact that Carson Palmer's brother, Jordan Palmer, is his quarterback's coach. There's rumblings that Carson's in his ear saying, like, you may not want to go to that organization. You should try to force your way out of going to Cincinnati.
Matt, what an embarrassment that would be for the Bengals. But I always kind of, if it's a super tough call to make, and I feel like this one kind of is, I would almost rather be the more passive side of it, which is the Dolphins side, which is, well, if you want to take Burrow, we'll take Tua. I think that that's how it's tracking.
As long as they can actually do that. I mean, there's still the chance that another...
They may have to use some of those picks.
Or you know, one of those other teams that needs a quarterback. The Jags might say, hey, we're going to jump up ahead of you. Lions might trade. Maybe Eddie's Giants might trade. There are plenty of teams who can pull those picks out of the Dolphins, even by making it look like they might take...
That's all, right. And right, the Lions have no reason not to fall back a little bit. Right.
Because they could still get the player they want at 3, at 5, because, you know, the Dolphins are going to take a quarterback. So that means that there's definitely, you know, one of the two guys that they would have been targeting at 3 is going to be available 2 picks later. So all the Lions really have to do is either make eyes at a quarterback themselves or make it sound like another team has made eyes at that quarterback.
I'm trying to figure that out. So if we know that DC is going to take Chase Young.
We assume that that's the case.
The Lions would take Chase Young. If
they may trade Darius Slay, which means they would take Jeff Okuda, who's by far the best defensive. Like, you could argue he's arguably better than Chase Young.
But then they can still get Jeff Okuda probably at 5.
Sure, totally. So I don't see the Giants taking a first round quarterback 2 years in a row. So I think the Giants wanted Simmons, a linebacker.
Exactly. So all they have to do is just make it sound like someone. Hey, by the way, some people called us about that Tua guy. You like? Here's a couple picks. Let's go.
Well, I know it doesn't make any sense that Matt Stafford might...
That's not happening. We agreed that.
I refuse to accept it with the amount of money that they have to do it. By the way, we're talking a little bit here, I guess, touching on some NFC North stuff. That reminds me, go back and listen to our earlier podcast from this week. We had the great Kyle Long.
Ooh.
Man, he is dynamite, just like his brother Chris Long.
All the Longs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know Howie. I've not had the occasion.
But
the glad
hand.
I mean,
you've seen enough of Howie, right?
He was in
Broken Arrow.
Right.
And then I don't know if you've seen any of the Fox pregame programming.
Seen some of that, yeah.
He's in that as well. Not as good as he was in Broken Arrow. If you had to rank all three Longs, Chris, Kyle, Howie, are there any other Longs? Chuck Long, not part of the family.
Jake.
Jake Long, not part of the family.
Although
him and Chris Long came out in the same draft.
Just Chip Long, too. It was Notre Dame's offensive coordinator. A lot of Longs.
Rank the Longs for me, just quickly.
Well, I remember this. I'll say this. When I first met Kyle Long, we went out for sushi in the northern suburbs of Chicago, and we were talking about exactly that. And I said, were you and Chris aware when you were growing up? Because now it's almost 20 years ago. Would have been like February of '02. So 18 years ago, Kimmel was rounding out his time as the Fox pregame prognosticator guy. Right. And, you know, in advance of making his picks each week, he would do little funny smart alecky bits about Bradshaw or Jimmy Johnson or sometimes Howie Long. And Howie didn't like it, apparently.
Really?
Got very mad. In fact, let it be known to the Fox execs that if he sees Jimmy Kimmel at the Super Bowl, he said he was going to rip his head off or something like that, or knock him out or something like that. And I said, were you aware of that growing up? And they didn't know about that. Neither one of them knew about that. Neither of the boys knew that. But they both have brought up the fact that they resent Christian Slater because in Broken Arrow, he kicks their dad out of a moving train. And so that has stuck with them.
If Christian Slater did that to my dad, I'd be upset too. Are you surprised that Howie's movie career didn't go beyond that?
He's a handsome devil.
He's a handsome devil. He looks the part for an action hero. It was at the time when, remember Brian Bosworth, when football ended for him, there was definitely talk of him being an
Stone
action
Cold.
Star.
Stone Cold with Lance Hendrickson is a great bad guy. Who's also, Lance Hendrickson's the guy in Aliens who is the robot guy.
Okay.
Remember him?
Yeah, I do.
Not a robot, really. He's like an advanced robot, you know. Anyhow. Let's talk about something serious. Then we can do the news.
Okay.
I have to say, and it's even happened at NFL media. Last week started with, there's a lot of news and for some reason, weirdly, it has to do with the first and second string quarterbacks of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last week starts with Chris Canty, who played for the Giants and for the Ravens and the Cowboys, right? And he goes on one of those debate shows on Fox and says, the Steelers execs are secretly hoping Roethlisberger retires so that they can move on from that bad contract, and has a number of reasons why that's the case. Of course, that's not true, because if he retires, it's $25 million against the cap, period. So there would be no money, and they're up against the cap. There would be no money. They would save $8 million is what they would get back if he retired today, let's say Roethlisberger. That wouldn't be anything close to the amount of money required to sign a viable starting quarterback. In other words, you're pot committed this side of Josh Rosen, which we did talk about last week, as some wild card guy who – and. By the way, I do think Josh Rosen potentially makes some sense in different places. But that's the only name that I can really think of out there that would, that maybe somebody would be like, yeah, we'll take him.
I think someone will get the chance to do that.
What about Mitchell Trubisky? If you could get a guy, if you're the Bears, if you could get Nick Foles or someone like that, would you then say, all right, we can throw you Mitchell Trubisky? I don't know. Anyway, the point being, there are no apparent viable options to replace a guy if you only have, let's say, $10-ish million to spend. You know, as a for the record, in case you're not keeping up with it, I don't like having to know about math. The reason I decided to kibitz about sports for a living was so that I could avoid math, and here we
everything
are.
Everything else is deep with math, but you're right. Sports, talking about sports is the only thing that doesn't have any.
A lot of numbers, and I don't care for that. I feel duped by it. But anyhow, $10-ish million for comparison's sake, Jacoby Brissett last year played for $15 million. So there is not a reasonable option out there. And yet Chris Canty is announcing this is what the Steelers secretly want to have happen. And Roethlisberger isn't really very good anymore. And we have no idea what's going on with his elbow. Fine. I thought that was weird. I tweeted at Chris Canty. He said, but then you explain to me what's good about that contract. I said, well, I played in the league for more than a decade.
Did he?
Does that imbue you with deeper knowledge of the salary cap?
What does that mean? There are times where that might make sense to say to you, but this is not one of those times.
Right. Yeah. Explaining why, Dave, you don't understand three technique the way I do. Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. You have that. You own that.
No
space.
Pushback, fella.
Chris Canty.
I don't think that you have any deeper insight into what they secretly want because of the cap implications and all that kind of stuff. Nor does it give you a crystal ball to know what's going on with Roethlisberger's elbow. So I thought that was weird and kind of salacious. And like, what are you talking about?
You helped put that fire out, but I think a lot of people around the internet decided that this was one that they would extinguish as well.
But it's strange, though, that we have gotten into National Enquirer territory where you just throw stuff out, and it's kind of...
Welcome to America, Dave.
That's right, handsome. That's exactly... I don't want to go too far with it, but I really do think that maybe that kind of hot take society has greased the skids for it to be like...
And you can say anything anywhere.
That looks like... I mean, really, the line between what SportsCenter was with Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann...
And Rich Eisen.
And now it's like this hot take thing. I don't think the average person looks at that and sees the distinction there. It's like, well, they're sitting at a desk and they're saying stuff. Like, that's the news, isn't it? Like, no, that's not the news. No. They're opining versus telling you what happened. Right. I don't think people make that distinction.
Yeah.
Then Thomas Davis on Total Access goes on and says that Roethlisberger could have come back. Said this is, I think, on Thursday or Friday last week, goes on and says, oh, Roethlisberger could have come back, but I think he looked at the roster and was like, it's not worth it to come back. Like, could have come back. What do you mean? Could have come back in December kind of thing? No, he had major elbow surgery. He couldn't have come back. Well, we know he likes drama. What? What are we talking about? What are we doing? What are we just throwing out, making stuff up from whole cloth and just throwing it out, right?
I guess. I mean, you know, the I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to pretend that I know more or less, but I don't think Thomas Davis is a doctor either. In fact, the only doctor in the NFL is Canadian offensive guard for the Kansas City Chiefs, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Wow. We brought up a subject that allowed Handsome to get that one off.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Speak Spanish.
Oui. That's French.
I know.
But I guess that if you... there are quarterbacks who've come back from elbow injuries and probably brought them back themselves back sooner than they might otherwise have come back if they saw that there was a real shot at making the playoffs and if they, you know, believed that they could be the difference. My guess is that A, his elbow wasn't healthy enough to do it, and I don't think Thomas Davis knows any different, but mine is also a guess. B, probably the playoffs felt at whatever moment it was that he could have made that decision felt like they were too far away. And see, yeah, maybe there is a little bit of a like, I don't really want to get behind that offensive line right now, or I don't necessarily think I've got the receivers to make it like the most appealing thing for me anyway, because ultimately I'm going to have to 2 weeks or 4 weeks from now make a decision on my future. And I don't want to do that looking at my last appearance and thinking, wow, I could.
Well, we know that Roethlisberger hasn't thrown a ball still as right. We approach the end of February. So that should be
like
the first
elbow is probably
that should be
not
the evidence that there's not that he exactly. could not have come back in November or December. And then Myles Garrett sits down with our pal Mina Kimes and alleges again that Mason Rudolph, the thing that set off Myles Garrett, is that he used a racial slur. And the fact that no mics picked it up, no one in close proximity to Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett heard it, the fact that no Browns player has said since, like, oh yeah, Myles Garrett, I was nearby, he told me directly after, and the same guy who went that cuckoo bird in the moment, then went back into the locker room 20 minutes later and was like, in front of the microphone or to whomever he spoke, said, it's not good for the league if I let this out. Like, on what level would it not be good for the league? You know, like, I know it would be, it you know, isn't great news, but who do you think the league, if you're going to play that level of cynic, we talk all the time in the 21st century about the cynicism that prevails. And it is weird, the fan who has to stand for the billionaires, like, you know, like, no, here's the real thing. They would, you know, if that's the level you're operating at, that, like, well, what would the billionaire owners of the league want?
Right.
Who do you think they would support? The superstar of the Cleveland Browns or the backup QB? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm just fascinated by this weird trend of just throwing stuff out now.
Seeing what sticks. Can I throw something out and see what sticks?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so you talked at the beginning about Drew Brees and how...
You're not interested in this subject?
No, no, I am. I'm going to bring it back to the Steelers in a second. Look, I mean, the Mason Rudolph...
I don't care about the Steelers. I just think both of these stories are strange.
The Mason Rudolph thing is weird, but the whole thing was weird in the moment, and it feels like, I don't want to diminish, you know, like, this isn't going to come out the way it's supposed to, but, like, we both got kids, and when your kids do something bad and they cast around for an excuse... It sometimes takes them, you know the truth, but sometimes takes them like 5 or 10 minutes to come up with, oh, I know what happened. And then they believe that that is actually what happened. And it's like, no, that's not what went down. But they'll stick to their guns on that, even though it took you watched the process of them coming up.
Here's what I know. I know you would not. Well, you don't know what you would do in that situation until you're in it. You know what I wouldn't do is the day after that, I wouldn't issue an apology.
Right.
That has no that there are no asides about, like, well, Mason also was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have said that. It was none of that. It was just an apology.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen if somebody did.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, though. You asked the question right at the top of the show. If you're a fan in New Orleans, how would you feel about Drew Brees coming back based on what we saw from him most recently, right? You've got Tom Brady, who I still think more than a 50% chance that he winds back up in New England.
I now have swung as the perpetuator
of the Chargers.
Him going to the Chargers. I just now think with Josh McDaniel still there, what's he going to
do? Right. I think he might do. I think he may heed my advice and go on a little tour. I think he may get wined and dined. Surf and turf. I think he might say, hey, GM, I love that tie you're wearing. And the GM will take his shirt off and give it to him. So I think that could easily
But if he
happen.
Does that, doesn't he then, there's some standard that makes it more difficult for him to return to the Patriots. It's more costly
He's Tom Brady.
Anyhow, go ahead.
He's Tom Brady. All right. It's fine. And then you've got Ben Roethlisberger, right? Who, as you say, hasn't thrown a ball since last September. And they're all in the same age bracket. And some team will wind up with Phil Rivers. Okay, so there are four guys. Mm-hmm. Of those four almost pensioners, which if you had one of them as your quarterback, who would you feel best about?
Well, obviously, if I have to say today, I'll take one who I know is going to be physically fit.
Right.
I don't know if Roethlisberger's elbow's
okay. I would
agree.
I think Roethlisberger is by the fact that we don't even know if he can throw the ball forwards is probably not going to be at the top
of
that
list. The Colts, as bad as Phil looked last year, and really we're talking about a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
It feels like forever ago. But I guess Phil probably, because I don't, the Drew Brees, doesn't it feel like the window that the opportunity has come and gone, even though they still have Alvin Kamara and they still have Michael Thomas and the defense is still good. Doesn't it? I really do feel like, and this is owed to absolutely nothing, just the sense that I get. If you are on the team, wouldn't you, if you're Sean Payton or Mickey Loomis, aren't you like, I mean, Drew, oh, you're coming back, huh? Great.
Well,
that's great.
I hate to be callous
great
about
Great news,
it.
Man. Don't do us any favors, man. You don't have to do it. Like, no, I can't walk out like that. No, I mean, you could. You could, Drew. You don't have to do this. Like, I'm going to do it for us, Sean.
Right. No, don't think about me. I'm good.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have Teddy B right now?
I don't know about Teddy B, maybe. But like, there are other quarterbacks who are going to be. If Cam Newton became available, and you've sat there and watched Cam Newton do it, and presumably you understand how he would fit into. If you made Taysom Hill work in your offense, you'd think you could probably make Cam Newton work in your offense.
Interesting.
What's to say that in mid March, early April, the Saints are like, "Hey Drew, you know you said you're coming back. Thanks. I don't know. You know, I hope you've managed to find somewhere to come back. You know, maybe Jacksonville would be nice for you." And because they could get, you know, like they, I don't know what would stop you from doing that.
Well, like we say, and Spaghetti, way in here, you're sitting there behind the glass. I feel like it's not denigrating. Yeah, people get caught up in when, like, I'm like, I'd rather have Teddy B than Drew Brees. You think Teddy Bridgewater is as good as Drew Brees? I'm not talking about 2008 Drew
right.
Brees. I'm talking about 40-year-old Drew Brees. And I feel like that we have seen those narratives play out for what they're worth. Which is, wow, Saints, they're starting to get a defense together there. And they're going to the NFC title game and they're going to play the Eagles. And wait, what happened? Minneapolis Miracle or whatever it was called. A terribly uncreative name for an iconic play. But anyhow, they're done. Then they come back and then they're great last year. Nobody can beat them, New Orleans. And they get a bad call against them. Playing the Rams. I don't know if you heard about that, but anyway, it stops Drew Brees from getting to the Super Bowl. They come back. They have a fire under them in 2019. This is the year we're going to right that wrong. We're going to get it right. Then they lose in the wild card round to Kirk Cousins. Now it's like, again, we're going to do this. We're going to run it back with the same thing again. I would be, if I were a fan at minimum, I'd be thoroughly uninspired, right?
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I love Saints fans and I love the Saints as well, and I love Drew Brees, but I feel like every one of them is sitting there going, like, Drew Brees is our hero. They're not, no one in New Orleans is objectively analyzing Drew Brees' play and saying, no, I reckon we could upgrade from that, but with Andy Dalton.
I see. Now, this is a fun idea. This is a fun exercise. Drew Brees for Cam Newton trade in the division.
I don't think it's happening as a trade. I could definitely you could imagine a world where the Panthers decide they don't want Cam Newton and the Saints decide they don't want Drew Brees and they wind up on each other's teams. I don't think there's like a human for human trade.
Who do you want, handsome, if the Dolphins have the choice of either or? Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy champion and national champion, or Tua?
I don't know, I've been so wedded to the idea of Tua for the last 2 years that I would like Tua still.
I'd like to be a
I'd
Dolphin.
Like him to be a Dolphin.
Spaghetti, you watch tons of college football.
Yeah, who do you like?
I do. I think a lot of people are prisoner of the moment and forgot completely about how good Tua was and when he first came in the national championship game, won that game, and how good he was in the SEC for an extended period of time. And now
how good
it's
he
just,
was last season. I
right.
mean, yeah, he got injured,
sure.
but last he was fantastic
and
for the games that he played last year. He was amazing.
Totally. I mean, and again, Joe Burrow did play the same defenses, and LSU, besides really one game, were blowing teams out. Like, he did everything he was supposed to do, Burrow, and I can't knock him for that, but I wouldn't be shocked in the least if Tua is the better pro and is like a Russell Wilson clone. I kind of lean towards Tua's career, but I don't think Burrow's. I mean, Burrow had made some magnificent plays. Tua has the injuries. He's smaller. He's a lefty, which is, I guess, strange in nowadays in the NFL. But I mean, just people need to look at the body of work of what Tua did.
You know, I'm absolutely shooting my mouth off with this one as usual, but I should be able to tap into my mental faculties and summon the answer or answers to this question. But has a guy, well, Cam, there, I just came up with it before I even posited the question to you guys. Has anybody ever had just one good year and then been drafted in the top 5 or 10 at quarterback and then gone on to an illustrious career? Cam Newton.
Oh, gone on to an illustrious career. Okay.
There's been plenty of recent,
Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray was a year before was probably not seen as, certainly not seen as the overall first pick and probably not a first round
pick. I guess
pick.
That kind of describes
I think Baker Mayfield was kind of in that camp as well. Like there's a ton of those guys recently that this has happened to.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
But I don't know historically like how many of them with those guys. Obviously it's too soon, but I'm not sure historically how many.
Aaron Rodgers had just the one good year. So I guess there's enough evidence.
Burrow's a strange one though, cuz like he lost, I mean he couldn't win the job in Ohio State.
Right.
And it wasn't like Ohio State was pushing out top level quarterbacks who are, you know, dominating the league right now. So it is a weird one to think about.
Well, Cardell Jones, which league?
Well, our league. Yeah, true. The XFL, yeah.
Our league.
I mean, good by one. The way,
Eddie just our leagued us.
Can I just
I don't think it's an NFL shield.
Booger's level to go our league yet, man. I think you're in a position to be playing the R league game.
Oh, wow, Eddie.
There's a shield rotating on the screen behind you guys. So that's what I was referring to.
What about if Cardell joins our league? That's a good question, actually. Have you seen anything? I mean, it's the same thing as preseason football. It's not a coincidence that guys who... People like my old man's in town right now, and the old man always like, you know, by the end of August, never fails. Like, I really like Tuzer Skipper. I really think that this kid, like Johnny Holton looks good. I hope the Steelers better keep him. Or like, it's preseason football. It's a lie to your eyes. They're playing against other guys who are trying to get into the league. It's not an indication of whether or not they're going to be able to keep up with the first level of NFL players 1 week from today. And yet everybody can't resist. Right. That's why I don't watch, Handsome.
I'm with you.
It's a lie to your eyes when you start watching that stuff. Same thing, Cardell Jones. A lot of buzz now. Cardell, oh, better than half the backups in the NFL. The kid from Temple, oh, better than half the quarterback backups in the NFL. Do you buy that, or no, are they in the XFL for a reason?
I tweeted during the preseason, during August, that if you love the third or fourth quarter of preseason games, you're really going to love the XFL, and got roundly told not to do that. But I haven't yet managed to watch any XFL this weekend. I was, I took my family skiing, but I don't ski. I just sat in a wooden lodge and drank red wine and was flicking through the TV channels. And like, I put the XFL on for about 3 minutes and was just like, there's nothing here for me. Like, it doesn't look, it's missing the nutritional value.
What a sport you are though.
Yeah.
Taking everybody else for a sporting weekend so you can just booze the whole time.
Yeah.
I love that. Hey, you know, you hear about the Madden curse, and I've said that, Patrick Mahomes basically ruined that before, and then I talk about the curse of Sposta, which is still a real thing. Mm-hmm. Just because Patrick Mahomes was good enough to overcome it doesn't mean it doesn't still take down some guys. When you're supposed to win, often you don't.
I know it.
The biggest curse going right now is at NFL Media here in Culver City on the wall outside the studio. If you are on this giant mural that they put up, last year it included Gronk, who,
retired.
because took too much of a beating, still retires as the greatest tight end of all time, but, you know, probably didn't go out the way he wanted to. Antonio Brown was out on that wall. We know how things have gone for him.
I don't know if we do necessarily. We don't know the end of that story.
True. Josh Norman, well, let me just say this to you. I mean, if Mike Tomlin and otherwise didn't make it clear, there's no chance he was ever coming back to the Steelers.
No.
This thing that maybe now that he's apologized, that would never
happen. He hasn't apologized. Someone wrote that for him.
I know. It's ridiculous. Who else is on that wall out there, Spaghetti?
Right now,
Baker, Jamal Adams
is there. I see.
Jamal Adams is the only guy who so far has avoided it, other than having to be on the.
I think they're going to have to replace Jamal Adams' team. He may still wind up being on the wall, but they might have to paint a new logo on his helmet.
Oh, you think he's going to move?
By the time this. I don't know.
You think Jamal Adams isn't going to be on the Jets in 2020?
I'm not suggesting that that's definitely happening, but I don't know if you've seen any of what Adam Gase does. What he's excellent at, I mean, fantastic at, is running his best players out of town.
Well, Levy
and
Bell.
He tried to trade Jamal Adams in October. I don't know why he wouldn't give it another go in March.
Well, it's a cursed wall.
And I don't think Jamal Adams
they
enjoyed the experience much either.
They do. Well, Levy and Bell, though, now it's coming out of the building, and I don't know if that's Gase or that's Joe Douglas or who exactly is issuing this news, but now I have become skeptical of all these things. Like, is there any merit to these reports, or are we just throwing nonsense out? But Levy and Bell was too heavy and not as explosive as he was back in his days with the Steelers, which what I said before this season was the Jets – this will be the best Levy and Bell that we'll ever see again. And I don't think it'll be as good as it was at his peak. And if I'm right about that, that is going to be an interesting case study for like, oh yeah, I'll just sit out a year and I'll come back nice and fresh. Like, no, you won't. Now Levy and Bell is going to be the opposite of what he intended to be, which is this guy who's going to reset the running back market. Now he is up there with Todd Gurley as the chief piece of information that says, as much as it sounds crazy, at most you franchise tag CMC. You do not keep Christian McCaffrey, no matter how much value you perceive him to have, for another 4 or 5 years.
Lev Bell will be traded for a fourth round draft pick before April the 28th.
Who's going to want to pay that loot, though? It's like $14 million he's owed. Who wants to pay that for a used up runner? See, there's always somebody, though, who'll...
Well, someone will do it.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, Spaghetti floats an interesting question. That cursed wall. I wish we had all the names. I'm trying to think of who else it is.
I think we got him. Is there...
Cam was on there at one point.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt was...
Is Rodgers, too?
Another...
Rodgers was on there. I don't know if he still is.
Because they kept getting right. And yeah, if you have a season ending injury, which J.J. Watt did last year. Anyway, Spaghetti asks, with Josh Norman now done with the Skins and moving on, he's no longer counts as a superstar in the league. Who do you suggest?
I think they're kind of grouped by division. There's like one guy that represents each division.
Oh,
I think
never noticed that.
Yeah, yeah. Then they have all four of the team logos kind of on the player thing. So I'll take Zeke. I mean, he's going to be around for a couple more years in Dallas.
Give Spaghetti a thrill. He wants to hear Saquon or
Danny Dimes.
I didn't even realize it was by division. I was thinking, like, why don't we have Mahomes or, Christian McCaffrey or someone like that. If we have to replace an NFC East cornerback.
I don't think it has to be a corner.
We should do it with DeAndre Baker, then. It makes I think Saquon's a very good answer. It could be either running back.
I would take the better running back. I'd take Zeke.
What do you make of
I'm not reacting to that
I like that
Eddie, you're not reacting to that.
I give a frown, but
how long is Zeke going to be on the Cowboys? So, I mean, that's a long term situation.
He's going to be there through that now that they've given him that contract. There's no need to end that.
Do you it is hard when you hear Tom Brady, oh, the Raiders are going to offer $60 million for 2 years to Tom Brady. I don't know if I said it out loud, but I definitely said it to the man in the mirror, like, Tom Brady in Las Vegas, that doesn't sound right. And then I was like, wait, I'm the guy who always goes on and on about, like, let's not confuse NFL quarterbacks with senatorial candidates. They're football guys. It's not like Tom Brady is so
maybe looking at it that way, if they're football guys, Tom Brady with John Gruden is the bigger question.
Does that sound like something to you?
Not really.
I mean, who's catching the passes?
But also, like, Tom Brady gets to be in control and, like, call the shots. Like, do you really want John Gruden, like, swearing at you all day? That doesn't feel like...
Now, David Carr...
If you're Tom Brady, you're like, I don't need that.
David Carr is incented. I mean, he'd like to see Derek stick, I think, because Derek would like to stick with the Raiders. But The larger point that David Carr has made is practically, does Tom Brady at 43, does he really want to have to do a completely different level of work?
That's why he's going back to...
He goes back to the Patriots, he has his whole TB12 thing all lined up.
Exactly. It's nicely outside.
Goes up for the OTAs a day or two during the offseason. This way, he's got to go out there. He's got to keep dealing with his new pass catchers. He's not going to... As much as I thought the Chargers made a ton of sense, now I'm like, Josh McDaniels is back in New England. It just doesn't make sense for him to move on from there. What do you make of Melvin Gordon predicting Phil Rivers to the Colts? Do you like that?
I think that'll do. That'll happen.
You like that one?
Like that one. I since we spoke about this last week, I did a little bit of digging around, and it feels like there's just too many pieces there that make sense. Like, he's worked with half that coaching staff before when they were in San Diego. So I think that one... I think if Phil gets to ultimately he's going to choose where he wants to go, then it seems like that would make sense. I don't think it comes down to like, oh, I need to live somewhere convenient to my family, because it sounds like they're going to be based in somewhere which doesn't have an NFL team very close.
If he doesn't prevent himself, the Raiders is the one that makes sense for him in the, like,
he's not. This is one where I'll say Phil Rivers is not going to Vegas.
Okay,
I completely contradict what you just said. I can't see Phil Rivers living in Vegas, just of all places for him. That doesn't feel like that. If he didn't like L.A., he's definitely not going to like Vegas.
Colts O-line's really good, too, which is something he needs.
And he's got weapons there.
Yeah. Does he, though? That's what I was
really? T.Y. Hilton was not healthy much last season. But
getting old, T.Y.
They drafted Paris Campbell pretty early. They have Marlon Mack. I mean, they have guys there.
Yeah,
They had that nice tight end that suddenly stepped up.
Who made it to the made it to the Pro Bowl?
Yep.
After five guys backed
exactly.
up. So there's that one. Now Gil Brandt floats the idea that the Steelers should go after Melvin Gordon. I hate to say it, but that one also is not going to happen unless they let Bud Dupree walk, because again, they will not have the money to sign Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, haven't they got like?
Nothing. They don't have any money. The only way they would have it is if they don't tag Bud Dupree.
Maybe when Ben retires, they'll be able to get the
Running. They would get $8 million for that. And yes, they would, I'm sure, draft somebody before that. And I guess, you know what? We're up against it, Hanson. We got to clear out of here for...
Have we?
Well, El Trenzone.
Para El Trenzone.
Yeah, we got to leave here. I could go on and on with you, but I... look at the clock here and figure we better wrap it up. Anything else there, Spaghetti, you wish to convey?
I think we hit every topic. You just got me thinking that to go back to the first topic about the draft. If you're the Bengals and you have Joe Mixon, AJ Green potentially coming back healthy, you have a few tight ends that are all right, why not just take Chase Young and grab one of those quarterbacks on the market, like Cam Newton or someone? If you're almost in win now mode, I mean, Kyle Long was telling us that Geno Atkins.
I don't think they think of themselves in win now mode. I think Zach Taylor, who's like one of the McVay lineage of quarterback gurus, wants his own guy to develop. I don't think he wants like a washed out.
No, I agree. In theory, it makes sense to get the young guy, the cheaper guy. But if like Cam Newton's like, I would play here, and then you can also just take Chase Young first overall, fill up another hole your team has. It's, I don't know. Mm. It's interesting.
I guess maybe if it came down to the fact that
he really does not want to go to
if truly he says I have leverage and he's decided to use his leverage that way, I would think probably the first thing they'd do is say, well, will Tua come here? Because I think they still need, I think the quarterback is still what they
need. I mean, they probably need an overhaul, but just a random thought. I mean, because I don't really love any of these like quarterback fits with these other teams. It's a weird offseason. I think it's really everyone wants maybe Cam, but he's not, again, he has not been healthy. So it's a weird offseason. There's a lot of names, but no one who I...
Well, it all comes, and then it comes back where we started. Drew Brees, that hit me maybe 3 weeks or so ago is if Brett Favre doesn't throw the overtime pick or Adrian Peterson doesn't fumble the ball, I think three times, I don't remember how many, I think he lost at least two fumbles in the NFC title game that the Saints won and then went on to beat the Colts in Miami. Was in Miami that game?
Yep.
If that doesn't happen and Brett Favre instead goes, I mean, he elevates his stock in the all-time quarterback rankings. But Drew Brees is Dan Fouts in that case. Like, he's never even been to a Super Bowl. What are we talking
about? He's Dan Marino because he holds all the records but doesn't go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting comp too, except that he's not anything close to Dan Marino, right?
Right.
I don't know. I got people. I've been getting the you hate Drew Brees. You've always hated Drew Brees. I don't hate Drew Brees in the least. I don't know. Just, you know, I think if we're a little aggressive with where we collectively, it seems, sort of slot him among the Super Bowl era guys. I don't know. Well, you, Drew Brees versus Ben Roethlisberger. What are you talking about? Like, I'm kind of like, yeah, I kind of agree with you guys, except not the way you guys think of it. Not the way you guys are looking at it. You shaking your head at that, Spaghetti?
I am too.
Oh, you love
it? I don't want to start. I don't want to.
This is the Everyone's Against the Steelers podcast. That's all right.
Is that how you hear it, Spaghetti? Is that how you hear it?
It's a little bit.
Eddie, if I were you, I'd suggest wrapping the show up.
I should start playing the music.
Play the music, creep. Have a great time in New York.
I'm not going to New York.
Where are you going?
Florida.
All right. Stay out there. Well, I care.
Help him draft two already while you're down.
Play the music. There it is. Everyone's against.
Everyone against the Steelers podcast.
Everyone's against the Giants, including me. I didn't like Danny Dimes until I met him. Now I love him.
I don't know. You know what? I've had it with everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Maybe. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.